Today on Maine Calling, Maine athletes with disabilities. Some elite athletes in Maine are already training hard for the 2028 Games, the Paralympic Games. Multi-sport athlete Christy Gardner of Oxford is one of the country's top shot putters. In the 2024 Paralympics, Falmouth cyclist Clara Brown won a bronze medal. And for every Christy Gardner or Clara Brown, there are hundreds of other athletes with disabilities in Maine participating in all kinds of sports. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will meet some of them and we'll learn about the organizations that organize and support adaptive and parasports in Maine. Today's show is part of our series, Ready and Able, Living with a Disability in Maine. And the program will be live streamed on Maine Public's YouTube page and Maine Calling's Facebook page. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Maine Health, where care teams provide expert, coordinated care focused on your overall wellness to help you be your healthiest self, mainehealth.org, and by Verrill, committed to delivering trusted legal services in Maine and throughout the Northeast for 163 years. Learn more at verrill-law.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Being an athlete or participating in sports is not off limits for people with disabilities. Many are able to play basketball or hockey or run a race or go downhill skiing. Today, we're going to learn about adaptive sports programs, activities, and competitions in Maine, and we will talk with some athletes about how they have found ways to be involved. The show is part of our Maine Calling series, Ready and Able, Living with a Disability in Maine. We are streaming it live on Maine Public's YouTube channel and Maine Calling's Facebook page with an ASL interpreter. Joining me for the hour, Christy Gardner, a U.S. Paralympic athlete who is involved with multiple sports and is founder and president of Mission Working Dogs. Amy Bannon is managing director of advancement with Maine Adaptive Sports and Recreation. And Grace Stoltz is Director of Health and Wellness with Special Olympics Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. Are you living with a disability and would like to be involved in sports, or have you been involved and want to share your stories? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call 1-800-399-3566. I'll repeat that email address because I think I hiccuped. It is talk@mainepublic.org. Well, welcome to all of you. Thank you so much for being here. Amy, I'm going to start with you. I think a lot of people are familiar with Maine Adaptive Skiing and some of those cool specialized rigs for people who might normally use a wheelchair, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, correct? Tell us about Maine Adaptive. Who joins, who takes part, and what kind of sports are you offering?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. You know, Maine Adaptive, we were founded as an adaptive skiing organization back in 1982. The first ever adaptive lesson through our organization actually was up at Sunday River in 1979. And that group of friends and community members got together and said, hey, this is something everyone should have access to. And that's when the organization was founded in 1982 to make sure that access could grow and expand to impact more folks. Now, fast forward, here we are today. We are a year-round adaptive sports organization providing not only winter sports opportunities, but summer sports opportunities across the state of Maine. So that really looks like kayaking, pickleball, tennis, golf, road cycling, mountain biking. In the winter, it's alpine skiing, Nordic skiing, snowshoeing. We also have an indoor rock climbing program. And so really we exist at this point in time to make sure everyone has access to the best that Maine has to offer recreationally. And so we serve people starting at age 4 all the way up through well into their 90s who have both physical and cognitive disabilities.
And that's what I was going to say. You said both physical and cognitive disabilities. It's not just for people who may use a wheelchair. You're talking about people who may be blind, maybe people who are deaf. Name some of the other disabilities that you work with.
Yeah. So, you know, we serve people who have spinal cord injuries, amputations. We serve people on the autism spectrum, people with Down syndrome. You know, you mentioned blindness. So we have a New England Visually Impaired Ski Festival that we run every year to make sure that people with visual impairment and blindness have access to both these sports and the community of other people with similar lived experiences so that they can have mentors in this space as well, which is important to us. But really the whole spectrum of disability, and it's any need, right? So if someone has an adaptive need, we would say, someone who has a need for accommodation, that's who we're here to serve. And we recognize that those needs can span a very wide spectrum, whether it's physical, cognitive, so on and so forth.
I'm so glad you mentioned the NEVI Fest. I happen to know that the team from Borealis was there, and that will be in April, one of the April Borealis programs coming up on Maine Public Television. Let's see. Grace, I'm going to turn to you. Tell us about Special Olympics. I know that you focus on people with intellectual disabilities. Talk about the age range, the kind of sports, how people get involved.
Yeah, so Special Olympics Maine, we do focus on people with intellectual disabilities, but we also serve athletes with multiple disabilities. So athletes with ID, and they also may have a physical component to their disability. And we serve ages 2 to also in their 90s. And so we do year-round sports. We have golf, soccer, or winter sports, snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, alpine skiing, bowling, track and field events, basketball, swim meets. So we serve all of those things. And we also have a young athletes department that serves our youngest athletes from 2 to 7. And we have motor activities, which serve our athletes with multiple disabilities as well.
And for some of the competitions people might be familiar with, Grace, these athletes have trained, right? This isn't just let's go out and try this thing this one day.
Yeah, for sure. So we ask that all of our athletes and coaches do regular practices for their sports. We actually just had 2 athletes return from Italy for the World Games. And one of the main athletes got a bronze medal in snowshoe. And she's trained most of her adult life in snowshoe. And she competed against several other countries to win that bronze. So that was really exciting for her. And a lot of hard work went into that. Our other athlete got 5th place in his alpine events. So was on the podium. And again, he's trained very hard. He's one of the top skiers in Maine for Special Olympics. So they train really hard. They compete against the best, not only here in the state of Maine, but when they go to national games and world games as well.
Are you allowed to share their names? Tell us about them.
Yes, and you're going to put me on the spot. Their first names are Ashley and AJ, and I don't know their last names off the top of my head. I'm so sorry. They are both athletes. One is from Androscoggin County, and one is from Kennebec County. And they have just been active in our program since their teenage years. I know that AJ is a winter sports athlete. Ashley also competes in bowling and basketball and track and field. So she does several sports herself. And both are very strong advocates of the program. So they're great.
All right. Well, Christy, I'm so excited to have you with us as well. You have quite the resume and have taken your athletic involvement to the highest level over the years and have been an athlete all your life. Tell us what happened that changed your life trajectory and how you got back into sports.
Sure. I was actually an athlete at Long Island University in New York. And of course, September 11th happened. So I ended up joining the Army. I served in the military police and was injured overseas in 2006. You know, it was really they call it traumatic, but, you know, obviously everything can be life changing. But I ended up with 2 skull fractures, facial fractures, organ damage, spinal cord injury, crushed my left arm and damaged my legs as well. And so learning how to do everything again and adapt was quite a challenge. And so, sorry, the cat keeps rubbing on the camera. Number of years of PT, OT, and speech therapy, but I eventually got into adaptive sports. And oh my God, of course. Jesus, do we stop?
Those of you Maybe. Listening on the radio who can't see Christy, her cat has decided that her laptop is going to be its her toy right now while Christy's speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I ended up at a winter sports camp for disabled veterans, and they did skiing and snowboarding during the day and introduced new sports every evening. And one of the sports that they introduced was sled hockey. And so it was run by a group out of New Hampshire, and they taught us how to play and ended up loaning me equipment. So I trained for the next 6 months and actually made it onto the national team that same year. So I've been playing on Team USA for sled hockey right now for 14 years. I'm actually retiring at the end of this month to now focus on track and field.
And your event in track and field is shot put, right?
Yeah, shot put and discus. But I've had the American record in shot put since 2016.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you're really good, right? American record since 2016. Oh my gosh, Christy. And tell me about the difference between competing as you did in high school and college before you joined the military and sort of the traditional sports world and now competing in this Paralympic world. Is there really no difference, or is there a profound difference that maybe people don't realize?
I would say there is a profound difference. While it's the same sports with a lot of the same rules and same equipment, there's definitely some modifications. People watch sled hockey and they think, oh, it's just slower hockey. But it's actually full checking and it's quite physical. So if I put you all out there in a sled, you learn that not only is it challenging to move because now you're propelling yourself with your arms and steering with your core, but most people end up laying on their side the whole game and are terrible at it.
I'm sure that you've talked with others who are in the position you were so many years ago, where they've suddenly become disabled and not lived their entire life that way, for, in whatever way. And what do you say to them about making a decision to get involved in sports or not?
Generally, I'd say absolutely try it. Try everything. You know, I love hockey and I love track for very different reasons for each. A lot of folks join and, you know, maybe were a hockey player and they come out and they realize that there's so many things that they used to be able to do in hockey that they can no longer do. And it's too frustrating. So maybe even finding a new sport and changing it up, something that you can be passionate about again, just learning all over again, because you're learning how to move and function again. So why not learn a new sport while you're at it?
And I know you also are a coach at Central Maine Adaptive Sports. Who are you working with?
So I primarily coach the track and field program there and the sled hockey program, but we also started adaptive cycling and kayaking a couple years ago.
Wow. Wow. And are these kids or everybody?
Everybody. Every disability, every age group. We're very local to Lewiston, Auburn and Central Maine. So some of the group goes out to like Poland and Casco, but really stay local for folks in the community here.
Oh, well, so Christy, as though you're athletic endeavors and achievements are not impressive enough, you're sitting there right at home where you've started a new, I know this doesn't have to do with sports, but I still have to ask about the dogs you work with, the foundation you started, the work that you do.
Sure. When I was injured, the polytrauma team met and said, you know, that I would really benefit from a service dog. So I got Moxie. I think a lot of people here in the state and the adaptive community especially had met her at one point. She's been up at the Maine Adaptive Lodge and things like that when I went snowboarding. But Moxie really gave me my independence back and allowed me to live so much more fully and to try new things and have the confidence to try new things. So I wanted to pay that forward to others and continue to train service dogs for those in need. So we started Mission Working Dogs in July of 2020. And we have a 10-building, 12-acre campus out here in Oxford, Maine. We've got 42 graduates so far and 78 dogs and puppies currently in the program.
You have 78 dogs and puppies surrounding you right now?
There's only 7 here right now. We actually have an incredible prison puppy program where we teach dog handling in the prison. So the prison residents here in Maine help raise the dogs as a way to give back.
So how do you do it all, Christy? How do you train for the Paralympics at the same time you're running this extraordinary organization?
Thankfully, I have a fabulous gym right here at my house and can throw in the yard and things like that and train the dogs right here. We've got lots of land, so I'm really, really good at time management. The kids wake up far too early, so we start our day off and running and crash hard at night.
And the kids are your dogs.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, we are talking about athletes with disabilities. We'd love to hear from you. What is your experience with sports in Maine? What would you like to know more about? What do you hope to be involved in? You can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, or send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What does it take for someone with a disability to get involved with sports and athletic activities? It may be challenging, but it is possible, especially through some of the programs that are here and growing in Maine. With me, Amy Bannon with Maine Adaptive Sports and Recreation, Grace Stoltz with Special Olympics Maine, and Christy Gardner, an Army veteran and a multi-sport athlete who has competed in the U.S. Paralympics. Share your comments and questions. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Dan Tilton is calling in now. Dan, tell us what town you're calling from and tell us about your son.
Well, good morning. I'm actually calling from Skowhegan, Maine today, but we live in Detroit, Maine, a tiny little town just outside of Pittsfield. Kellen is our son, and he is an adaptive athlete with lots of experience with Maine Adaptive.
Oh, great. And so tell us what it's meant for him. What would his life be like without it, and what is it like with it?
Well, his life is amazing because of it. It would be drastically different without. Kellen's got, this is his ninth year of experience with Maine Adaptive, and he's only 13. He started when he was four and learned to ski in a mono ski, if you're familiar with that, what that is. And we were first introduced to Maine Adaptive back then, and Kellen's been going strong with them for 9 years, and it's just been a wonderful thing for him and our family. He's been exposed to skiing, which really is his passion. But he's had so many opportunities from golfing to biking, rock climbing, tennis, just things that he would never be able to do, kind of outside of an awesome program like this as an adaptive athlete.
Mm. Amy, is there anything you'd like to say about Dan and Kellen while we've got him on the line?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Kellen is such a fantastic ambassador for adaptive sports. Like Dan mentioned, he picked up to skiing really fast and really developed this deep love for it. And what's been really special this past year, especially, is we started a youth mono ski training camp called Mono Mayhem. And what we've seen come out of this is students like Kellen, who have been in the program for many years, stepping into more of a leadership role, even at 13 years old, to teach some of these younger kids, maybe age 8, 9, 10, who are newer to the sport. And now they get to see this young teenage athlete ripping through the mountain and racing through gates and say, hey, that's something I can work towards and I can be like Kellen one day, right? And so to see kids like Kellen grow up being exposed to these sports and then now start to give back to the next youth group or cohort rising up is just really special for us as an organization to see.
Dan, does Kellen hope to be like Christy and compete on the world stage someday?
He sure does. And Kellen actually knows Christy because he's had some experience with her too. Hello, Christy. And it's been awesome. He absolutely does wish to, and it's one of his goals to be a Paralympic athlete, and compete in an Olympics someday. And that's the other beautiful thing about this. Like Amy just mentioned, he's had an opportunity now to become a teacher and help some other folks, but that's all because of the exposure he's had and seen from this organization and the volunteers that give all of their time and just hundreds of different people that he's been able to see, that maybe even indirectly have mentored him. But that's absolutely his goal. And he also was exposed to, through this program, some amazing athletes that have a history of Olympic competition, because Maine Adaptive is so connected not just in Maine, but around the country and around the world with athletes and participants that they sometimes bring even to Maine. And so Kellen's had exposure to them, which has been amazing for him.
Well, Dan Tilton, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about your son, Kellen. We're going to go now to Rod Wendt, who works as a volunteer for Maine Adaptive and teaches skiing at Pleasant Mountain. Hi, Ron. We were just talking about volunteers and how important volunteers are to these organizations. How did you get involved?
Well, I've been involved in adaptive skiing for about 20 years. First in New Hampshire at Mount Sunapee. And then when I moved to Maine 3 years ago, I just said, where can I do this? And Maine Adaptive was the answer and Pleasant Mountain was the closest. And so here I am.
What would you like to say to others who might be considering this? What does it take?
Well, I think it doesn't take being a particularly good skier or snowboarder. You need to be sort of a intermediate person, but it really takes a desire to help people with disabilities make the most of their ability. And I've been working with a 15-year-old autistic, nonverbal young man for the last couple of years, and have helped him move from being on the magic carpet with his skis to tethers, to the ski lift, to skiing freely. And most recently, I was asked to train him up for Special Olympics doing a slalom run, which I did, and he won a gold medal. So it's been an amazing couple of years with that young man.
Wow. Well, Rod, thank you so much for calling in and telling us your story. That's Rod Wendt, who volunteers with a variety of adaptive sports programs. I'm getting that as I listen to people talk about this, that this really isn't about sports at all on some level, is it? And I'll turn back to you, Amy, that we're hearing about leadership and we're hearing about freedom. And we're hearing about things that don't necessarily mean winning, even though we are hearing a little bit about winning too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, something that's really special and that I hear often about adaptive sports is the community. It's the people who make you feel like you have a space where you belong, where you can be yourself, where you can redefine success based on what your capabilities are. And that community has proven to be really special and important to people as they move through sports and also move through life, right? So I see people talking about their new wheelchair and showing it off to someone who might be in the market for a new wheelchair or showing off these new crutches. And it's just a space where folks can thrive in sports, as we talk about, but also, you know, have resources and people and community that they can fall back on and feel like they belong within. It's really
and Grace,
special.
Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I would say Special Olympics Maine, we have a motto here where we look to improve our athletes' lives through the lens of sports. So we also have athlete leaders who have become really strong advocates on the health disparities that we see in the ID community versus their non-disabled peers. We really offer wraparound services through our medical screenings and through our fitness programming. And in reality, we talk about that it can sometimes be challenging for someone with a disability, regardless of what that disability is, to join a sport. But what we're trying to do is make it so that that's not a barrier, that you can join any sport regardless of disability status and have it be inclusive. And I think that's really what I think. I would hope Amy and Chrissy would agree. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to see here is a more inclusive place, and places like Special Olympics Maine and Maine Adaptive can really provide that.
I'm going to go to an email we received from Clara Brown. We were really hoping that Clara could be part of the program today. She is a cyclist. She's won a bronze medal at the 2024 Paralympics in Tokyo, but is traveling internationally. So she sent us this email. She has told us about a couple of the joys of competing as an elite para athlete and also some of the challenges. So I'll just read through these. And the joys: demonstrating the resilience of the human body and the importance of staying physically active no matter the limitations you are facing. having an immense pride in what my body is capable of and getting the opportunity to celebrate its potential every day I am training and racing, connecting with and competing against other athletes who encounter similar experiences in sport. And then the challenges, a lack of visibility and credibility within sports and broader media. When we are featured, the storylines tend to focus on the inspirational aspect of overcoming our disability, rather than highlighting our athletic career and accomplishments in sports. 2, modifying equipment and relying on custom technology, creative solutions to operate my bike. The potential for failure or damage or lack of availability of access can be challenging to maintain race-ready and safe equipment. And then an imperfect classification system to determine sports classes for which athletes compete in. So I'm going to turn to you, Christy. Does some of what Clara has said here resonate with you?
Definitely. I would say that the classification is probably one of our biggest frustrations, where you're ranked against other athletes based on your disabilities, but a lot of us have different combinations of disabilities, whether it's arm impairment, leg impairment. I mean, I'm a bilateral leg amputee and missing most of one hand, so it affects how I function in a lot of different things. But you'll see athletes who appear to have no impairment, and they might be ranked right with you. But also similar things, you know, equipment and traveling and praying that your equipment makes it there safely, or watching the airline throw it off the airplane, things like that can be extremely frustrating. But at the same time, the opportunity to really push your body to its limits and to work with your teammates who may or may not have the same disability as you, and to network and build all of that, is just an incredible opportunity.
We'll go to Gina, who's calling from Harrison. Hi, Gina. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Gina. How are you today?
Wonderful.
Calling in just to talk about adaptive sports.
Yeah, are you a participant? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'm a participant sometimes, and sometimes a volunteer. Complex medical conditions, TBI, left side weakness, connective tissue damage, autoimmune things, you know, the usual. But adaptive sports is my therapy and is my life. I enjoy the computer set.
Oh, darn, Gina, you're cutting out. You must be from a place with tricky. Oh, I see. You're on the ski slope.
Okay,
so
sorry
tricky. You're back. Go ahead. Oh, dear. All right. Well, I'm sorry we lost you, Gina, but I'm happy you're able to be on the slopes today, get some spring skiing in before it all melts, all the snow melts. Thank you for calling in. We'll go to Rose, who's calling from Saco. Hi, Rose. Go ahead.
Hi there. I love your show. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to say a quick thank you to the volunteers, specifically at Maine Adaptive. My mother has participated in a lot of their programs over the past few years and have made a great difference in her life. She has physical mobility issues, so multiple sclerosis, TBI, and some other things as well. And she just looks forward to these events every week that she's able to do them. You know, she used to be leader of her hiking club when she was in college, and now she, you know, can't even make it down the stairs that fast. So it really has given her just the tools to get back outside with other people struggling from similar things. And the volunteers are always so, so kind. And I just wanted to say thank you as her daughter. It means a lot knowing that these programs are available in the state and that, you know, they really are making a big difference in people's lives. So I just want to say thank you.
Rose, that's just so lovely. And I'm really struck by, you know, Rod called in earlier, and I expect others about their children who are involved, but you're talking about your mother. So she got involved in adaptive sports later in life.
Correct. Yeah. So she's in her 60s now. I'm in my mid-20s. So, you know, when I was a kid, when I was about 5, is when she first started getting her diagnoses, and kind of has declined with mobility since then. So as I've gotten older, she's found these programs, and I've been able to do, I think I did biking with her once around the Back Cove, which is one of her favorites. She also loves going up to Acadia National Park when Maine Adaptive does their trips up there, and that's something she looks forward to every year. So it's just great knowing those options are available for her and to be able to participate with her when I can, you know, because I don't have the tools to make it accessible for her, but I can go with her and be with people that are trained to help and have the tools.
Well, Rose, thank you so much. And I'm going to turn to you, Amy. When Rose says she doesn't have the tools, her mom doesn't have the tools, does your organization own these? And how does that work? Do people use them on the day that they're doing the sport?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And one that often people don't realize is that adaptive equipment is astronomically expensive. Where you look at a mountain bike for anyone, those are typically expensive, right? You know, you get sticker shock going to go buy a bike, but for an adaptive mountain biker, that price is quadrupled. You're looking at $15,000 to $25,000 to break into a sport you may or may not like. And so a big reason why Maine Adaptive exists in the first place is to eliminate that financial barrier to accessing adaptive equipment. And so we're really fortunate as an organization to have incredible supporters, donors, grant funders, and foundations that allow us to purchase this equipment and own it outright. So then we can lend it out to folks through these instructional lessons. We also train all of our volunteers to be experts on these devices so that they can provide precision fitting, custom fitting, because each person has a unique need for that equipment. And that's another barrier as well, is making sure we have equipment that can meet the wide spectrum of users that will need it.
Rose, thank you so much for calling in. We have Gina back. Gina has got a better spot on the ski slope. Hi, Gina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go on with what you were saying before. Yeah.
Yes, is that pretty much after all my injuries, and then you keep getting more, it seems, as time goes on. I'm very fortunate because of Adaptive Sports gives me the ability to live out, like, do very cool sports, which I've already gone through. I do skiing, alpine, Nordic, and snowshoeing, and then I do summertime. I do adaptive mountain biking, adaptive biking, and pretty much anything. It's a lot. It has to do with community and helping myself, but also helping others. So I'm both a participant and a volunteer. And what is nice about Maine Adaptive especially is that it does make it, it's free programming, and you have not only free programming, but you have free, equipment and instruction, and, we're trained very well when you're a volunteer. So it's nice because it gives the family a break as well as the participant. Because lots of times I think people don't they take for granted the care provider, who might be really, really overstressed. And it's a nice thing to be able to go somewhere with other disabled people of all types of disabilities and just be yourself. Yeah.
Gina, let me ask you something. You're talking about alpine skiing. You're talking about mountain biking. These are sports that are scary enough, right? And a lot of people are nervous to try them. Is that sometimes something that you or others you work with have had to overcome, a fearfulness of getting involved in a frightening sport when you might already feel a little vulnerable?
Absolutely. It is part of the fun, I guess. what I mean by that is that when you're trained properly, the fear factor goes away and it becomes joy. So, yes, all of those things are kind of scary, but when it's broken down into increments, we don't do dangerous things. It's to make sure that you're safe and you're having fun and you're learning. And so you see the fear melt off of my face and other people's faces.
Gina, thank you so much for calling in. Christy, is that something you can relate to, turning fear into joy?
Absolutely. Especially, say at hockey, it's full checking, or when I first learned to snowboard, even the lift was terrifying. But when you're with instructors that really know what they're doing and volunteers that have your best interests at heart, it really makes it absolutely incredible. It lowers that fear of learning or fear of failure, as well as fear of injury, and gives you the opportunity to really succeed at the event.
Gina, thanks for calling in. We are going to take another break. We're talking about people with disabilities who are athletes or just want to participate in sports on Maine Calling. The phone number 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today's program is part of our year-long series called Ready and Able, Living with a Disability in Maine. We're talking about adaptive sports and athletes with disabilities. This program is being streamed live on Maine Public's YouTube channel, as well as Maine Calling's Facebook page. We have an ASL interpreter with us. Our guests today are Grace Stoltz with Special Olympics Maine, Christy Gardner, a competitive athlete, double amputee, and she also founded Mission Working Dogs, because, going to the Paralympics isn't enough, and Amy Bannon with Maine Adaptive Sports and Recreation. You can join our conversation. The phone number 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to our Facebook page or to Instagram. We're going to go to Christopher, who's calling from Booth Bay Harbor. Hi, Christopher. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Most importantly, I wanted to say thank you to all of you for what you do on a daily and or a regular basis. It's an absolutely amazing program. I was made aware of it by someone who I believe you know by the name of Dave Patch, someone who I consider to be a mentor and my older brother. It's just amazing. He took us on a tour. He took me, my wife, and my kid on a tour about a year or two ago at Maine Adaptive to see the location, that the specialty equipment that you spoke of, the bikes and the walkers and all. And it's just, it's unbelievable. I am a 100% disabled veteran per the VA, and I was a part of the Wounded Warrior Battalion down in San Antonio, Texas for a few years before coming here to Maine. So I was shocked when Mr. Patch told me about Maine Adaptive. It is pretty much what I lived in there in San Antonio with the Wounded Warrior Battalion. Just absolutely awesome. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I absolutely love what you do. Second to that, I'm curious to know if any part or most of your funding comes from, the administration down in D.C., and is this new doggy going to affect it?
Christopher, thank you so much for calling in and talking about what this is all meant for you. And Amy, I'll turn to you for the last part of Christopher's question. How are you funded?
Yeah, great question. And Chris, thanks for calling in. Dave Patch is a wonderful ambassador of Maine Adaptive, and I just love hearing stories like that. So thank you. Fortunately here at Maine Adaptive, our funding is primarily coming from a lot of our local supporters, our volunteers, donors who have been supporting us since our founding. So our individual support comes through an event that's actually happening right now, the Skiathon. That event culminates in a celebration on the slopes on Sunday, and that raises about a third of our operating costs for the next year. And then to supplement the remainder of the revenue needed to afford the operational overhead for providing adaptive sports, we utilize grant funding. We have some very generous projects going on right now with the state of Maine. And, to kind of tie it all together, our partners really make it possible. So our partners, Sunday River, Pleasant Mountain, Sugarloaf, Pineland Farms, they all offset the cost of their venue and services so that we have a lower overhead cost providing services. So without that in-kind support, without that partnership, it would be very hard to continue doing what we're doing, especially as everything becomes more expensive. And to kind of bring it all together, we are right now paying attention to what's going on in DC. We're staying plugged in. We're utilizing resources like Maine Association for Nonprofits to stay sort of on the edge of the conversations happening at a larger scale nationally. But thankfully, We have really great support coming from our community, and we don't have federal funding right now that would put us at risk to losing out our services.
And Amy, I have to ask you about the skiathon. How many hours straight are people skiing?
So the way the skiathon works, actually, it's a season-long fundraiser. And so people are skiing and raising money and talking about Maine Adaptive with their communities from January 1st all the way through this Sunday on the 23rd. So while it's not a 24-hour event per se, it's a lot of skiing throughout the season to raise awareness for what we're doing and the costs that are associated for providing these services.
And I'll turn to you, Grace. How is Special Olympics funded?
We're also very fortunate that we are majority funded through our local and regional sponsors and donors. We also have a great relationship with our community partners who do a lot of that in-kind donation through venues and supplies. We do receive some federal funding, and as far as our next year, those funds have been allocated to us through the Congress. It's just really waiting on that distribution factor. So I guess it's up in the air until we find out, but we hopefully will not have to limit any of our services and our sports seasons that we provide for sure, because we are so strongly funded locally. But might take a little bit of icing off the cake if we don't receive some of those federal grants. Mm-hmm.
So primarily funded locally, but you do expect some federal money and depend on it.
Yes. Yeah.
And Christy, why don't I ask you, it cannot be cheap to compete like you compete. How do you raise the money to do it?
A lot of bottles and cans. So yeah, we don't have any shame in picking through the trash for bottles. But yes, also private donors, some local partners. Thankfully, the city of Auburn has allowed me to skate during the school day to keep up with my training obligations for the national team there. And then a nonprofit actually helped me with my house, making my house wheelchair accessible. So I was able to put more funding into the home gym. And the VA also has stipends available for veterans who meet certain standards for training funds. So I get about $600 a month from that.
And is that money at risk? Do you know?
I don't know. I hope not, but I actually have no idea.
And let me ask you about the U.S. Olympic Committee. Does it help out Paralympic athletes like it does the other members of the Olympic team?
So I can't speak for every sport, but they just made a ruling for track and field that they will. And if you make the games now, from now on, you do get a financial, a heck of a financial deal that we've never had in the past.
Is track and field included in that?
Yes. Yeah, so U.S. Paralympic track and field just merged with USA track and field. So we're now under them as our governing body. So all para athletes that make it to summer games will get the same stipend as the regular athletes.
Wow. Well, I hope that for you. Grace, I want to turn back to something. We've been talking a lot about what these participation in these athletic events means to the people involved and maybe their families. But I'm going to remember something personal from when my son was in second grade. His entire class went to cheer on a Special Olympic athlete in his class at a swim meet. And they all got those little paddles with his face on them and held them up and cheered for him. And I think that it was as maybe not as meaningful, but very, very meaningful for the other kids to be cheering on their classmate as it was for the classmate that was being cheered on. And I'm wondering if that's something that happens very often, or was my son just lucky?
No, I think that's very true. We do have a strong showing in our public schools here in Maine. A lot of them participate in unified basketball, have begun to participate in unified bocce and unified robotics. And that just means that it's an inclusive team. So it has both individuals with intellectual disability and individuals without. And studies have shown that not only does it benefit our athletes to have interactions with people without disabilities because it strengthens their social skills, it makes them more apt to participate in social outings, but also for their non-disabled peers, it exposes them to a variation of human life that they might not have had that exposure to prior to. It also strengthens their social skills. It makes them more comfortable, and it just educates them on how to be a good advocate for the disability community in general. So I think that's a huge part of our programming. And often those individuals who start off as unified partners end up coming back to us in their adult life as volunteers or as coaches or as unified adult partners on our basketball teams or our golf teams. So I think it's a really important part of our programming here.
And a related email here from Frank. I have young children and we make a point to watch the Special Olympics with them in order to show them how humans can overcome adversity and be rewarded in so many ways. Are there opportunities for families with children not requiring adaptive sports to participate alongside these amazing role models? And Grace, your point is some of these teams that we're talking about, not every Maine community has them, but more and more are, right?
Yeah, and so our biggest opportunity for young children is our young athletes program, which we run through community centers and public schools, which is for the ages of 2 to 7, and sometimes a little bit older for our mentors. And that is like an adaptive PE curriculum that works on gross motor skills to get at both non-disabled and our disabled athletes ready for team sports. And then in middle school and high school, we have unified sports where they're on the same team. They work together to win their games and compete in their games. And right now our big sports are basketball is our largest, then unified bocce, as well as unified robotics, which is new to us this year, which has been really cool to see. Our last weekend was our unified robotics competition. And then in the adult world, we have unified basketball teams, we have unified golf teams, and some other opportunities for adults to continue partnering with our athletes who are not disabled.
An email here from Megan. I have a 6-year-old with Down syndrome, and we've had an amazing experience with the Maine Adaptive Outdoor Program. The director's name is Kayla. It was started by a husband and wife. They are the most loving, giving people. My doctor has been skiing every year with them and loves it. They have a center in Brunswick for summer sports and do a lot of other activities like rock climbing and sailing. And then Claire on Facebook writes, Volta Rock Climbing Gym on Mount Desert Island, Acadia, offers adaptive climbing at their gym. Incredible gym run by a great crew. Owners Jesse and Ann made adaptive climbing a priority ahead of the gym's opening a few years back. Open year round, so great of an option for winter months. We have a couple minutes left. We'll go to Melissa, who's calling in from Maine Site. Hi, Melissa, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call and for this great program and the series. So Maine Site is the state's assistive technology program. And assistive technology is a very broad term, and it actually includes adaptive sporting equipment. So I just wanted to tell you about some resources we have and some collaborations we've had as well. So one of the things we do is provide free webinars for anybody to watch for free anytime. They're archived on our website, which is mainsite.org. And if you go to trainings, you'll find one of the webinars was on assistive technology for adaptive sports and recreation, and that's they're listed chronologically. That was in January of 23. There's one on accessible sports and recreation summer edition, which was in May of 23. And then there's also one on what to look for in a summer camp through the disability lens, and that was from last March. So I think that was March 24. And I also just want to say that the caller who was just on who talked about the AOEC, Adaptive Outdoor Education Center, they have a newish program called Gear Share, where people can, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this yet, but people can rent, or they have a very flexible fee schedule. Really amazing devices, adaptive bikes, ski equipment, and stuff for hiking. And so you can go right on their website and link to the Gear Share tab there. And then I also want to mention that one of our partnering programs, Pine Tree Society has Pine Tree Camp, and they have a lot of equipment that they just bought for their camp. that is available to people who attend the camp, and then eventually, hopefully, they'll be able to make it available for people to trial and borrow right there. So thank you. These are great programs, Maine Adaptive, and a lot of other resources. And if anybody has questions, they can go on our website and contact us if they need more information.
Melissa, thank you so much for calling and expanding our understanding of what's available out there. Thank you so much. Melissa calling from Maine Site, which is CITE, and also mentioning AOEC, which I'm familiar with as well. Wonderful. Amy, you're nodding. A wonderful organization based in Brunswick. We are out of time, so I just want to thank my guests today, Christy Gardner, a U.S. Paralympic athlete involved with multiple sports and the national record holder on the shot put, Amy Bannon, Managing Director of Advancement with Maine Adaptive Sports and Recreation, and Grace Stoltz, Director of Health and Wellness with Special Olympics Maine. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. We had help from Nick Godfrey. Thank you. And a thank you to our ASL interpreter, Sid Pollard, with MJ Grant Interpreting. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about influential women in Maine history and where you can go, what sites, homes, and things like that you can visit to learn more about them. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.